I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The war in Israel entering day 18 this morning. Hamas released two more hostages as negotiations for more releases are underway. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that U.S. officials are, quote, recommending Israel not rush into a ground offensive before Washington has the chance to get military assets in place and prepared to use in the event of an expansion of the Israeli-Hamas war.
Now that's Maria Bartiromo saying that the U.S., while it said it would not be telling Israel how to fight the war, is now urging them to slow down a bit. Why? Why? Well, Major retired, I should say, General Jack King had said, mainly because, one, we have new intel that might tell us where some of the hostages are being held, and we want to see if we can extract them before that time. And another reason being that we don't have all of our forces we won't mobilize yet. He said, we have various capabilities, but they're not all centered there yet. But what we need is coming, and we're building. And if we're going to give them the best and full support, we might need a little bit more time to get everything in position. Now, if something suddenly happened to happen, could we react? Yes, we could. And then the others would come as needed. We have already been told that 2,000 additional Marines have been put on alert notice. That would include some of the states, not just those already in the Middle East. How they will be used, when and where, that's still to be decided. Unless there's some way to bring this to a more peaceful conclusion. Oh, I know. I know the leftists say you can end it right now. Stop shelling Gaza. We can end it right now if you release, one, all the hostages, and then, two, let all the Palestinians out that want to get out, and, three, then we're going to come in and wipe you out anyway. That's how you end it. Thank you for joining us. This is hour number two of Larry Connors USA. We're on the air for you Monday through Friday right here, 6 to 8 p.m. You don't want to miss any of it. And, of course, we're also streaming at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, News Talk STL, Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. And each day after we finish the programs, they go up as a podcast, video and audio. I see many of you seem to watch, enjoy watching. Good, I'm glad to have you. Somebody sent me a note that said, it's like you're back on TV, but now you can say what you want. Well, I could always say what I wanted, but I also, as a news anchor, had to be more balanced in the approach. In this case, I still have a basic fabric of being even and giving you both sides of the story, but now I can also express my viewpoint, which I couldn't then. I actually love this platform, and I appreciate your support, you sharing it with others. Guy came up to me last night in a restaurant, said, I really want you to know how much I enjoy hearing you. That means a lot to me, truly. Now, out of the reporting that's been coming forward, we've, of course, had some additional hostages released yesterday. That makes four that Hamas has released, supposedly for, quote, humanitarian reasons, which means, one, they don't want them to die on them, and, two, it makes them look good, as if you can look good after slaughtering and raping children and beheading them in front of their own parents. That's going to make you look good by letting two, now four people go total, and holding the others. I want you to hear this news report that came out.
This Hamas posted video of members taking care of Yochaved Lifshitz, 85, and Nurit Cooper, 79, before handing them over to the Red Cross in Egypt, which took them to Israel.
These people aren't humanitarians. They are bloodthirsty killers. And if they are releasing people, it's because they're being compelled to do so by the pressure we're placing upon them. And as that pressure increases, I believe you'll get more people out.
The women were kidnapped on October 7th from kibbutz near Oz, bringing the total number of released hostages to 4. Their husbands are still in captivity.
We really hope that this is the beginning of the release for the rest of the hostages, which is very important. And more important than their release, we hope this will continue.
At least 220 Israelis are still being held hostage by Hamas, including 30 children. One of them, Ohad Munder Zikri, turned 9 years old in captivity yesterday.
How do you like to spend your 9th birthday being held captive by people that might have beheaded your mother and father and maybe raped your mother and our daughters or others? You know, in this nation, we do, hopefully, the best we can to protect our children at all times. That includes from social media. It includes from bad influences of people they shouldn't be around and everything else. As bad as you think you might have it here in protecting your children, imagine the trauma of parents who now might be deceased, watching their children taken from them in their dying moments, not knowing what's going to happen to their child. That's heartbreaking. And it is also heartbreaking that something like 1,200 to 1,500 children have died during the Israeli bombing of Palestine, the Gaza Strip, the Palestinians there. They're not trying to kill children. They're not trying to kill true Palestinians. They're trying to kill Hamas. But Hamas, the cowards they are, hide under the cribs of babies and under churches and hospitals, along with their munitions. They do that on purpose. They don't think you'll attack us here. That's why apparently special ground units are possibly in Gaza right now, working their way around, trying to find where hostages are, rescuing them. There was a report by Trey Yangst, who's been with on the front line for Fox News, saying that now there are rewards being offered to Palestinians. Tell us where we can find Hamas, our prisoners, and if it turns out, we'll get you some money and we'll get you out of here. And there are a lot of Palestinians that want out. They do not want to be controlled by these terrorists. But when it comes to dealing with a real threat, Florida Senator Marco Rubio sums it up. You've got to go all the way.
I believe Hamas needs to be wiped out, but it's not going to be easy. Urban warfare going in on land in a nation that, frankly, is going to rely on reservists, many of whom just got off a flight 48 hours ago, flying in from Miami, where I live, flying in. Planes were full of reservists reporting for duty. You know, urban warfare is difficult with groups that have tunnel systems and are willing to conduct long-term insurgency-type campaigns. And so as that develops, the needs, the material needs that Israel may need to resupply on might be different than what's anticipated. So I think you'll find all the support you need in Washington, and we'll have the mechanism to deliver it. I think what's important is we understand that baseline's already there, the authorities are already there, and at some point, if more is needed, and it probably will be, we'll need to know exactly what that is, and I don't think there'll be any impediments to getting it done. And I hope that it can be kept separate from these other debates. I've been a supporter of helping Ukraine, but I don't think the two should be mixed. Because they're two very different cases.
They are two different cases, and Biden knows that, but he could not help but throw Ukraine, more money for Ukraine, into the quest to help Israel. Ukraine's under a direct threat. I understand that. I'm not taking that away. But we have sent so much in there already, and right now Israel needs our support. If you're looking at the money amounts and justifying that Biden's priorities are wrong, well, they're wrong in many ways. But there's a reason there would be more money for Ukraine. It's a broader theater of war than Israel. And Israel has a lot of capability that Ukrainians didn't have. So there's justification for the difference of the numbers. The problem is there is no justification for linking them, because basically they're saying, if you don't like Ukraine, you don't want to approve this, and you're also not giving money to Israel. Biden is holding Americans hostage himself if they will not support what he wants for Ukraine, because then you don't get the money for Israel. They should be considered as separate packages, but they're not. An IDF Lieutenant Colonel Lerner says, we're prepared for whatever comes at us, even if it's from the north.
We have a very, very strong military force. We have recruited the largest amount of reservists in the history of the state of Israel, some 300,000 servicemen and women. And indeed, we are prepared to fight, if needs be, on two or even multi-front war. We do want to be focused on Hamas. The situation and the paradigm where a terrorist organization becomes a terrorist government with a terrorist army can no longer be an accepted norm. This organization needs to be retired from the realm of existence once and for all, and that is our focus.
That is Lieutenant Colonel Peter Lerner with the Israeli Defense Force. For a military man, and I guess he's also been trained in PR, we want to retire them. He means more than retire. We want to bury them. That's really the meaning, and I guess he's trying to be a little bit less agitating for those who are already calling for enough ceasefire. Stop it. I've got coming up later in this hour, David Harsanyi, who wrote a great piece for The Federalist about how we're seeing support for Israel that is hiding some ugly truth in our nation. He'll be coming up shortly. But before that, let's go back to Lieutenant Colonel Peter Lerner and how they're prepared to deal with Hezbollah.
Of course, we are watching towards the north. We are looking at Hezbollah. We are checking and making the necessary precautions in order to be strong in our defensive and offensive capabilities also in the north. And indeed, we have seen Hezbollah attacks against forces, including anti-tank guided missiles against our forces and also against civilians on the border with Lebanon. We have two core messages to Lebanon. First of all, as a sovereign state, don't let attacks originate from your territory. It is your responsibility to make sure Hezbollah does not get involved. And another message to Hezbollah, look very carefully how we are dismantling Hamas in Gaza. Step after step, target after target, location after location. Do you want to cross the threshold and become the next Hamas? I would highly recommend they look very closely and not cross that threshold.
I think they better hear what he's saying. You cross that threshold, we're in your face. Senator Marco Rubio says, just dealing with what's in Gaza, that's going to be a bloody battle.
I mean, this is going to be messy. It's a protracted situation. It's going to be, these guys are deeply entrenched inside of Gaza, and it's not going to be easy to degrade them to an acceptable level. And so the real challenge is not today. The real challenge is 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks from now, because the way it has played out historically is Israel is attacked. Everyone rallies to Israel's side. Israel does what it needs to do. And then all of a sudden, starting in Western Europe and then spreading even here in the United States, you start hearing calls of, okay, you've done enough. It's time to stop. And that's where I think the real challenge is going to come. I think we need to understand something very clearly. If Hamas is not eliminated, if Hamas is not substantially degraded, they will come back and they will do this again and they will do it worse. And other groups will look at this as an example of what they need to do, and they will do the same. We need to understand that if we don't stop this now, it won't be, you know, 1,200 people. It could be thousands upon thousands of people that are murdered because they happen to be Jews living in Israel and are hated by these people. So if this doesn't stop now, it's going to lead to more loss of life, more bloodshed. If we've learned anything from history, is that if you don't confront and defeat evil, evil will grow, evil will spread, and evil will come for you.
It will come for you. Let's change subjects. Another attorney, a former attorney for former President Trump, enters a guilty plea.
Thank you, Your Honor, for the opportunity to address the court. As an attorney who is also a Christian, I take my responsibilities as a lawyer very seriously, and I endeavor to be a person of sound moral and ethical character in all of my dealings. In the wake of the 2020 presidential election, I believed that challenging the results on behalf of President Trump should be pursued in a just and legal way. I endeavored to represent my client to the best of my ability. I relied on others, including lawyers with many more years of experience than I, to provide me with true and reliable information, especially since my role involved speaking to the media and to legislators in various states. What I did not do, but should have done, Your Honor, was to make sure that the facts the other lawyers alleged to be true were in fact true.
Those are the words of Jenna Ellis, a former Trump campaign attorney, expressing sorrow, pleading guilty in Georgia, and said, I failed to do a full vetting of what information I was given by more experienced lawyers. She said, I still support a fair election.
What I did not do, but should have done, Your Honor, was to make sure that the facts the other lawyers alleged to be true were in fact true. In the frenetic pace of attempting to raise challenges to the election in several states, including Georgia, I failed to do my due diligence. I believe in and I value election integrity. If I knew then what I know now, I would have declined to represent Donald Trump in these post-election challenges. I look back on this whole experience with deep remorse. For those failures of mine, Your Honor, I have taken responsibility already before the Colorado Bar who censured me, and I now take responsibility before this court and apologize to the people of Georgia. Thank you.
So she said she would have declined to represent Trump if she had it to do over again. I know a lot of folks are applauding that. CBS legal analyst Jessica Levinson points out now you have her following Sidney Powell, I should say, and Kenny Chesbrough.
We have now, in short order, seen three of the former president's former attorneys plead guilty. And there's no motivation to accepting a plea deal like looking to the left side, looking to the right side, and seeing that people you worked with are now taking these deals. I think ultimately this is not good for the former president. I think Trump, one, wanted to be able to rely on a defense called assistance of counsel, and when you have three of your counsels pleading guilty to criminal violations, that becomes more complicated, to say the least. Mm-hmm. Two, I think Trump wanted a preview of Fani Willis's cases. And now that these plea deals are happening, these cases won't go to trial. He won't see that preview. And so I think that this is good news for the prosecution, and it has to feel rather ominous for the former president.
Probably does, but that doesn't mean it's over. And in fact, Jessica Levinson, CBS legal analyst, says the prosecution has its view of what's going on.
I think you're exactly right to zero in on what's helpful for the prosecution is that all three have said, I will testify in cases involving the other co-defendants. I believe now 15 other co-defendants. They've also agreed to provide any information that they already haven't to the prosecution. And let's remember that this Georgia case and the federal election case are very much overlapping. So what is helpful in Georgia could also be helpful to special counsel Jack Smith and his team in that federal election case. What specifically are we looking at here? I think we're looking at what the attorneys told the president, the former president, how he responded, what kind of information, again, was provided to him, and maybe some information about his state of mind.
And the state of mind, who's going to determine that? There's still a lot to be unraveled. Now, for Jenna Lewis, Ellis, I should say, she's pled guilty to one count of aiding and abetting false statements and writings for her participation, and she gets 5 years probation. But she also has to testify. There's still a lot more to come on that. Coming up, an interview of David Harsanyi, who says there are some ugly truths we're seeing in this nation.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. 44930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
You guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1, and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
And we're down, we go, go.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
How many more killings is enough for you? Is it 1,000 more? 2,000 more? 3,000 more? How many more Palestinians would make you happy if they died?
Most America is not with you, Mr. President. Most of America is not with the people that don't want to de-escalate and facilitate a ceasefire.
They are the most disgusting members in Congress. Omar Tlaib calling for peace, for Israel to quit hitting Gaza, killing Palestinians. They're not trying to kill Palestinians, but they're being used by as shields by Hamas. And we also have a report that IDF forces have killed multiple Hamas militants who were trying to infiltrate Israel by sea. Where do you think these people are now? They're still yelling the same thing. Quit attacking Gaza and killing Palestinians. My guest, David Harsanyi, he is the senior editor at The Federalist. He wrote an excellent piece on how numerous surveys are showing support for Israel are actually hiding some ugly truth. David, first of all, thanks for joining us.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
I'm looking at a survey that you point out right away that basically says only the police and military are more respected than Israel. And we know how the left hates the police and military. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this was a Harvard-Harris poll, which I think is relatively well respected, you know. But when you really take a deeper dive into the numbers, though, they are pretty scary, at least to me. Among young people, a huge number. I think it's almost 50%, up to 35, but up to 25, a majority, they believe that Hamas was justified in doing this. So in essence, they're saying that there's a justification for killing a pregnant woman and taking a baby out of her stomach or killing or burning elderly people alive. They think this is justified. That's a huge number.
Yeah.
And among self-described liberals, that number is like 38%. Among conservatives, it's 15. So,
Wait, 15%. I'm sorry. 15% conservatives see nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
are they lying? Are they lying about being conservatives? Or are they just trying to change the polls?
I mean, listen, I think there are bad people in any group, right?
You're right. You're right.
So I think that for certain political reasons, like you know, people like if they're anti-war, they don't want America to get involved. They'll say something like that, even though I don't think America needs to be involved in that way.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? So there's maybe other political reasons. But, you know, I just want to quickly say among the young people, you know, at least from my perspective, when you keep going and digging deeper in this poll, it's clear that we're talking about people who are going to you know, who have, I don't know, you know, are getting their PhDs in something or are in schools, or it's not like an everyday normal person. It's kind of the elite, the people who are going to be running newspapers and working there, or people who are going to be in government.
Who think they're smarter, who think they're smarter than the rest of us, yo.
Exactly. And they're going to have more power and reach than some guy dressing up like a Nazi marching, you know, in front of Disneyland or whatever. That guy has no power. I'm not saying he's a good guy. He's a bad guy. But he's not as powerful as the person who's working at the State Department, you know?
You know, Etta Tlaib the other day, and she was displaying a PLO flag outside her office. She'd done it previously, but she made a point to put it back after the Hamas terrorist action. And she's being, and then next to her is a gay pride and flag, and then back behind it against the wall is the U.S. flag. She's being chased through the halls, questioned by a reporter, can you at least say it's wrong to chop off the heads of babies? No, she wouldn't say anything. How can you possibly ignore that statement?
She doesn't think it's wrong. I mean, she doesn't think it's wrong.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even believe if she said she thought it was wrong. I don't believe Ilhan Omar thinks it's wrong. Anyone who's calling for a ceasefire now, who calls, it's like calling for a ceasefire after one of the towers had fallen on 9/11 for Israel. I mean, you know, you have to find the people who did this. Any real country who cares about its people would find the perpetrators, would dismantle. They're at war, and they're going to, they, I hope they do that, even though Joe Biden, I think, is trying to slow them down. I really do hope that they do it.
You point out in here another survey that says, and this is the kind of thing that pits us against each other. I mean, not all Muslims are jihadists, but every jihadist is a Muslim. Not all Palestinians are Hamas, but every Hamas is a Palestinian. And it points out in this survey, a majority of American Muslims, a majority, agree that Hamas was justified in its attack on Israel.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you judge people as individuals. I think that's what conservatives should do. That's why we talk about individual rights. You're not born any way. You know what I'm saying? You're not like this identitarian idea that white people are all racist or whatever. I don't think like that. I don't think anyone should think like that. We're born and we make our own decisions and we have our own positions. But on the other hand, we can't chill speech and pretend that many Muslims in this country are not anti-Semitic. There's a deeply embedded anti-Semitic strain within the Islamic community across the world. And that's just borne out in poll after poll, in the marches that you see. And we're, you know, I mean, I'll tell you, I'm Jewish, and I'm allowed to mention that.
You know?
I mean, that is a fact. And not that no one else is allowed. I'm just saying I'm going to mention it because I feel that that's a threat.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm Christian. I had a very detailed discussion with a pastor one time who was basically preaching a message that you need to be aware of Muslims. I said, later after the sermon was over, I said, how can you do that? You just labeled a group of people who have a different religion, and they're not all the same, nor are all Christians the same.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that means everyone who believes that they're violent, or even most of them. I don't think that's the case at all. But it is a problem. If there was another group that had hate, you know, that was racist or something, or had a deep strain of racism within it, then we'd talk about it, right? I mean, we would mention it, and it would be something that would be on in the media, and people would be, you know, talking about ways to stem it or stop it or convince people to think differently. But here, we're all supposed to be scared to even mention it. And when I see these marches across the country, one of them I saw in Queens, New York, you know, a huge march.
For the PLO, right? For the PLO,
yeah. I was born there, you know, and for me to see that kind of march and to think of some Jewish person who lives there having to deal with that, I think that's a big problem, and I don't think that we should be quiet about it.
Did you stand there with your cross of David in plain sight?
I think I don't live there now. I was born there, but my point is,
you take things reasonably. You point out something. You're talking about the Institutes of Higher Learning, and I'm going to come back to that in a moment, but I'd pointed out previously, if you take a child from Palestine or, let's say, Gaza Strip, and a child from Israel, they're 3-4 years old, you put the two of them in, they have not had a chance to be really indoctrinated, and they're just playing, they will get along just fine unless one takes a toy that the other one wants, like all children do. It is, it's the hate that is fomented and indoctrinated into them that creates all of this.
Of course. And it's, as you mentioned, with Talib and the rainbow flag and other, I see other kind of flags and issues being intertwined in it. It's because they're all on the same team, this kind of Marxist third world oppressor, oppressee, you know, the usual stuff. It's just a different iteration of what's always gone on.
And they're forgetting that, and they're forgetting if they were LGBTQ in one of these Sharia countries, they'd be beheaded themselves.
Yeah, I mean, but this has been going on a long time. Even in the 70s, when the PLO itself was involved in big terrorist action, sometimes leftist groups from Japan or Germany or whatever would participate in these killings because they feel like they're on the same side. I mean, that's something else to think about. Does a person, a progressive person in the United States, want to be on the same side as Hamas? It seems to me I wouldn't. I would never be part of a group that had any kind of terrorist, you know, wanting to be part of it, and I would say something about it. But how many politicians are out there saying, you know what, we don't like Ilhan Omar? How many Democrats have actually said that?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe they did, but I don't think many, or certainly not the big names. So
no.
I think that's another problem.
And I've been constantly amazed at the silence of Chuck Schumer long before Hamas and this event went down, how he basically is just kind of, you know, let them have their say. I know it's a free country, free speech, but do you not have enough courage to stand for your own belief?
He does not.
Yeah.
They're not his beliefs anymore. I mean, I think when you become a politician, your beliefs, your system of beliefs changes sometimes. And the most important thing for them is partisanship. And they don't want to go against their own party. I'm not saying that's just Democrats. You know, other people are that as well. But this is, I mean, how can I say, this isn't like some debate over tax policy this is a debate over life and death for a lot of people.
Humanity.
I'm not saying of course, that's how I look at it. You're on the side of civilization or you're not. I'm not saying you have to go out there and say Israel's right about everything. No one's right about everything.
Right.
But if that's the only country you have a problem with that exists, you know, its existence is in question, and that's the only Jewish country and it's a tiny country, that tells me something about you. And a country that allies with us, not just in most moral ways, but allies with us, is a good ally, better than any European ally, which always, you know, kind of undermines us in the UN and so forth. Israel is always with the United States. If that's the one country you have a problem with, that, you know, I think that's something.
My director, Quentin, pointed this out, and he's right. Dem leadership much better than Republicans. They don't air their dirty laundry, especially when it comes to Tlaib and others like her. They just want to look away.
But they could work to get them out. It used to be, you know, the Republicans, and not always and for good reasons, would try to get people, you know, find the people to run primaries against those they didn't like or they felt were too out there or whatever. Do they do that with these folks? No, they don't.
Let me leave you with one story. I have a friend who has a son in a private school, high school level, and she asked, so what are you guys being learning about Hamas terrorist attack? This is a week plus ago. He said, we didn't learn anything. Today was our day to learn, be a gay day. That's what it was called. That's where their focus is.
I'll tell you where they don't have that day, in Gaza.
No, they don't. They sure don't. David Harsanyi, I thank you very much for your time. Folks, you can find his writing at The Federalist. We will do it again. Always engaging. Thank you, sir. We'll do it again. All right, coming up, let's take another look at the threat that we might be facing down the road, Iran getting a nuclear weapon, and the Saudi prince says, if they get one, we want one.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, we got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation. Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket of high. If you listen close, you can hear him cry. Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Sing it.
Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Way down below, way down below.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Are you concerned, though, Iran gets a nuclear weapon, about them getting a nuclear weapon?
When we are concerned of any country getting a nuclear weapon, that's a bad move. And you don't need to get a nuclear weapon because you cannot use it. Even if Iran gets a nuclear weapon, any country use a nuclear weapon, that means they are having a war with the rest of the world. The world cannot see another Hiroshima. If the world see 100,000 people dead, that means you are in a war with the rest of the world. So it's a useless effort to reach a nuclear weapon because you cannot use it. If you use it, you got to have a big fight with the rest of the world.
If they get one, will you?
If they get one, we have to get one.
If they get one, we have to get one. That is obviously the attitude of Saudi Arabia. That was the Prince of Saudi Arabia in an interview, a Fox exclusive with Brett Baer. And apparently the first interview the Saudi Prince has ever done in full English. And apparently no subject was off limits. But when he talks about that they are going to, if they see Iran get one, then we're going to get one, you know where that then goes. Let me run through some additional facts for you here. If you're asking, and I'll ask for you at this point, how many nuclear weapons do we have in the world now, and which countries have them? Well, you know the U.S. and Russia and China, the United Kingdom, Israel has nuclear weapons, as does France. And then you have Pakistan and India. I was with a friend last night who's from India. And we were talking about the issue between Pakistan and India. They're not friendly whatsoever. Now, out of the total weapons that supposedly have been, if they've actually been properly counted, the global nuclear stockpile is close to 13,000 nuclear weapons. 13,000. I remember in high school, we had a debate over at that time, do we need more nuclear weapons and how do we get to bring the number down? And of course, part of the argument was that we all should begin to get rid of them. And the attitude of our government was, and properly so, believe that they're doing it, trust, but verify. Trust, but verify that they're doing so. So the nuclear arms treaty began to reduce them. But still, 13,000 nuclear weapons in the world right now? You only need a third of those or less to destroy the entire world. Israel has made it clear it does not want a neighboring state, one that wants to wipe Israel off the face of the world, to have a nuclear weapon. So Israel has its, pardon me, has theirs. And you would think if Iran continues to move forward as they were doing under basically Obama originally, and now Biden, although it's slowed up because of the attack in Israel, they apparently have a uranium stockpile to create 8 to 10 nuclear bombs. Doesn't mean they can deliver them by missile yet, but all they have to do is put it on the back of a mule and get it into Israel. Now, according to the nuclear deal that was signed off on, this is where Obama was calling his legacy, that they will not get a nuclear weapon during my term. That was in his last 2 years of his term. That was a safe bet. But he was still going to be helping them and giving them money, not only for developing that, but to carry out terrorist actions. So supposedly Iran, under this deal, must reduce its stockpile of uranium by 98% and keep uranium enrichment at 3.67%, well below the enrichment level needed to create a bomb. Are they doing it? Again, they'll give you an answer. You can trust it, but you should verify it. And I wouldn't bother trusting it. But there's a greater hot spot than Israel and Iran. You know where? Think about it. That would be Pakistan and India. 2013, Pakistan adopted the concept of full spectrum deterrence. In other words, they can do anything they need to deter. And that also included not just deterring, but Pakistan retaining a policy of first use against nuclear armed states, such as India. Maybe a preemptive strike is part of that program. If they think India is going to do something to them, they will fire the first nuclear missile, Pakistan. The current director of the Nuclear Information Project says when it comes down to nuclear weapon states, it could end up in a nuclear clash against each other. India and Pakistan have for years been considered the most likely. So a lot of people were not aware of that, and certainly we need to worry about the Mideast. And we know Israel, and part of that is our involvement with Israel. India is siding more with the U.S., but at the same time, they're keeping connections with Russia. Pakistan trying to do the same. And in fact, in 2019, This is according to the memoir written by former U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. After Delhi had launched strikes against militants in Pakistani territory following an attack on Indian troops in Kashmir, he says India and Pakistan came, quote, close to a nuclear conflagration in Feb 2019. But they were able to move away from it. So in 2019, all of this could have been blowing up. And then you get one of them deciding to attack another nation they don't like, and then that accelerates, especially if they also have nuclear missiles or they have allies that have nuclear missiles. We in this country have a barrier of oceans on each side. Doesn't mean it can't be crossed now, but it would give some warning. But imagine if you're living next door to an enemy that would use a nuclear weapon against you, knowing it's going to kill some of their own people. But they don't care. They hate you more than they care about their people. And that is kind of where we are right now between Hamas, Hezbollah, and Israel. Israel has a new tactic. Israel has a new tactic to catch and destroy Hamas.
We do have some breaking news for you. We're learning from the Israeli military at this hour that they've taken out three deputy commanders of Hamas inside the Gaza Strip using precision strikes. This is significant because it's yet another indication the Israelis are going for the top of Hamas leadership ahead of what is expected to be a ground operation into the Strip. You mentioned overnight 400 airstrikes targeting both Hamas and Islamic Jihad cells inside Gaza. The infrastructure damage is spreading throughout the Strip, as the Israelis are telling people to continue moving south to get out of the way in the north. They're also dropping new leaflets today calling for people to give any information they have about those hostages to the Israelis, offering a monetary reward and safe passage if that information is confirmed.
If the information is confirmed, they're getting Palestinians to turn against Hamas, if they can do it, of course, without Hamas knowing they're doing it, telling them where to find Hamas terrorists and how to get to them, and maybe rescue hostages. Again, there are teams apparently on the ground in Gaza right now, Israeli teams, United Kingdom teams, and U.S. teams going in to try to rescue some of those being held hostage. But there is a labyrinth of tunnels underground in Gaza. They've been preparing for this for a long time. In fact, some of those who have been released for, quote, humanitarian reasons, they're talking about, one of them describes, it was a spider web of tunnels. There's no way I could have found myself free to even get out. If I were free, I wouldn't have known where to go. And now here comes this. And mentioned in the last hour, Obama is now criticizing Israel over Gaza, saying, don't harden Palestinian attitudes for generations. He is again like the leftist Omar and Tlaib and the rest of them, calling for a ceasefire. Quit firing on Gaza. It has, we've seen pauses in the fighting to get humanitarian aid in. Supposedly more was delivered today, going through the Rafah passing that connects Gaza to Egypt. But I want to remind you again. Egypt has said, we will not take Palestinian refugees. Lebanon and Syria. We don't want them. Pardon me. Part of the reason being, pardon me, might be gassed in here right now. Part of the reason being that if they come in, they may bring with them Hamas, and then they will set up facilities in those countries to shoot on Israel. Then they will be the target of Israel. So against that backdrop, let me put this on you. And I don't know why he has to be reminded on this, but he does. A group of House Republicans reminding President Joe Biden, you do not have authority under existing federal immigration law to bring Palestinians from Gaza to the U.S. via a parole pipeline. He's already been talking about doing it. Now, granted, it would be a legitimate claim that I'm escaping Gaza because I need asylum. How many we had come across our border making that claim? When we know they weren't really coming for asylum, they're coming to have a better job. Hopefully that's all, that they're not coming in to destroy the nation from inside. The congressman's breaching of Oklahoma, Oglas of Tennessee, Duncan of South Carolina, Clay Higgins of Louisiana. I'm sorry, excuse me. They all sent a letter to Biden asking him to oppose resettling Palestinians across American communities. Why would he consider that? Well, that's because AOC and Jamal Bowman have voiced support for such a plan. And we know how Biden basically is a puppet of the squad and any of those on the far, far left. So if they say we need to take them in here, give them safe refuge, he might well try to do it. So these Republicans have written, no authority exists to grant categorical parole to a group of foreign nationals. Now, Biden did open up pipelines for Afghans and Ukrainians in the last 2 years. But the letter continues, we are deeply opposed to any potential attempts to parole into the U.S. Palestinians en masse following Israel's counteroffensive against Hamas in Gaza. You do know what they will end up doing anyway. If they haven't already, Hamas terrorists, if they can get out of Gaza, mix in with civilians, and then make their way to the states south of our border, and then they will come across the border and we will have Hamas and Hezbollah inside our country. I believe at this point we already do. And they're simply waiting on a signal to start carrying out jihad. This is a good reason to be thankful for your Second Amendment rights, so you can protect yourself and your family. I remind you of our pledge, one nation under God.